All those haters in Haterville gonna hate. I say, just wait. No, that's dumb. Let's go with the first one. No. Something about haters in Haterville.
What are you talking about?
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house in Haterville, my creature was merciless. My creature was stirring, except for a hateful mouse. The stockings were hung by the hate place of care, with hopes that St. Haterman would soon be there.
Haterman?
Yeah, he's a hater. Santa Claus is the OG hater. He's always hating on those naughty kids, you know? They just doing what they do.
I'm cutting most of that.
No. Was... Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for December 5th, 2011. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Raj Guy.
Hello.
Hello. What's up? Are you saying hi to me, or are you saying hi to, like, the people?
Both.
Oh, then what's up?
New podcast.
Oh, is it just, like, a cordial?
It was rhetorical.
Oh. I thought you might have a conversation with me. My bad.
We're going to have a conversation for the next 30 to 60 minutes. We never know.
So we're starting up the news, and let's go topical, Harlequin Gaming, and the releases. Let's go. What's the news?
Okay. First story I've got. Whoops, where'd it go? Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Vamping for time. There it is. Sad news, sadly. Game Pro is no more.
The writing was kind of on the wall. First they went quarterly, not very long ago.
Yeah, well,
how many quarterly issues did they even release? I think they released one.
I don't know.
Don't tell me their last issue is that really bad, like, top 100 fighting game characters.
Probably.
Or 50. That's sad. But
I mean, we kind of saw this when they hired John Davis.
John Davis even said after he left, this was some time ago, that they brought him on
to help the magazine die gracefully, basically.
Right. I mean...
And the sad thing is the website had actually started doing some really good stuff.
Yeah, there's
really good. It's just
I wrote for that website. I did some freelance.
I know.
Thank you. Is that what the good stuff you're talking about?
I was more talking about Pete, but you did good too.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, good job, Pete. But it sucks. I mean, I feel like we're getting to this point where it's going to only be Game Informer
and like a couple of cockroaches.
There'll always be like the new one that like won't last very long. I don't know. Maybe Edge will still be around.
Edge will live because it is like that quarterly, not quarterly. It is monthly, but it's like the big premium kind of publication.
I guess I don't really know a whole lot about Edge, but I mean it sucks. Kind of knew it was gonna happen. I wonder how long like this EGM rebirth's gonna go on for. I would bet.
I mean,
not
they got that
long.
Walmart deal worked out, so that could be good for them.
I guess, but like that's like the new thing now. Like these places have their own game magazines. Best Buy has that game magazine. I think it's just called Game.
Yeah, but it's really a catalog and advertising.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next.
Okay, so they're releasing a demo for Monster Hunter 3G on the 3DS in Japan. You can only play it 30 times, and it won't work.
The demo.
Mm-hmm.
You can only play 30 times, and then it won't work?
Yeah, it's kind of like how the Sonic Generations demo, the first one, like, locked out.
Am I supposed to be outraged by this? I mean, it's just a demo.
I just think it's weird they're making demos with expirations.
I mean, you know, how long do you need to demo something before you know you're going to buy it?
I
have no problem with this. I feel like you want me to be outraged.
I just wanted to see what you thought.
I don't think much of it.
Okay, that's fine.
There you go.
All right. In Mass Effect 3, they will be introducing some sequences that were going to take place in the Citadel in Mass Effect 2. They kind of just resurrected them for the third game.
I feel like the only time you went to the Citadel in Mass Effect 2 was to talk to... Well, I talked to the guy. What's his name? Keith David.
Yeah,
Keith David's character.
Me too.
Because I left him in charge at the end of Mass Effect 1, so I just went there for a little bit to talk to him. That's all I did.
Yeah, you don't do much in the Citadel in 2. I mean, seems like it was going to be bigger. They had to cut it, so they're going to put it back in the 3.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're making this game like 2 years later. You gotta use some resources.
Yeah, you know.
I still wonder about Mass Effect 3.
Why?
I didn't say I think it's gonna be bad. I don't know. Well, because people are saying, well, the streamlining's okay. They, you know, whatever. Dragon Age 2 showed that you can streamline things too far.
Yeah, but there. I mean, there. It's from what I've seen of everything, it's not going to be anything radically different from 2.
I guess the thing, I'm not really looking at a lot of the stuff. I'm just...
Yeah. Like, I just saw they, on the Bauer Insider, they showed off some of the new combat abilities. Each of the class gets a new unique melee ability, so melee is a little more viable and interesting in the game.
Yeah, you were telling me too that
they look pretty good,
like turrets.
Yeah, there's some new abilities for everybody. I think it's gonna be sweet.
I just hope. I don't want the RPG elements to be compromised any more than they were for 2. I feel like that it was pretty good there. Any more, I feel like I'm not gonna be a happy camper.
Right.
I feel like they got a good balance. Basically, I like 2 a lot. I don't think they need to change much, and I'm worried they are going to change too many things.
I don't think they are, from what I've seen.
I mean, the multiplayer thing, I don't like that.
I know you don't.
So we'll see about this other stuff. All right.
Okay.
Yep.
On the PlayStation Vita, Sony announced that they will not have fixed prices for games. I think this is to help combat iOS a bit and Android.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's good. It's also been rumored that, like we already know in Japan, that the digital games will cost less than retail games. Which
this segues nicely into my next story. They're saying that this might be part of the expensive price of the memory cards. Is after you've basically bought about 8 games, the card is paid for itself. If you get the biggest one, They also say the reason they're going with these cards instead of something like SD is to combat piracy, because there won't be like readers for this. You can't mount the Vita as mass storage on your PC.
I mean, it makes sense. I'm sure
it only interfaces with the software.
I'm sure people are going to find a way around. Well,
that's the thing. You put a USB port on something, people will find a way.
But still, you got to do what you can do. I imagine that piracy probably hurt the PSP more than any other.
Well, that was the easiest system to hack.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So they kind of have to do something about that. Yeah. Agreed.
All right. Rumors indicate that Team Ico boss Fumito Ueda may have left Sony.
I thought we knew he left.
Is it for sure?
I don't know. I just saw a headline where it was saying he's still working on it. The rumor is that he left, but he's
working like in a freelance capacity to finish
Last Guardian.
Last Guardian, which is good because we want that game to be finished. But
yeah, it'd be nice.
The speculation is that the reason he left is because he's kind of frustrated with the development process in Last Guardian. I mean, the game has taken a long time.
Is that what it is? What is he frustrated about? Isn't he in charge of the development process?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know he's the game director. He's like the creative force.
Part of me almost wonders if Sony is mad at him that the development is taking so long.
Yeah,
that's what I'm kind of thinking.
It really makes you wonder. Like, why wasn't the game shown at TGS at all this year?
I mean, they had to have done something in a year. You must have something to show.
I know. Like, I couldn't believe there wasn't anything.
I mean, if you don't have much to show something so people aren't worried.
Right.
Because that's what I am right now.
Right.
I'm a little worried. You know, when you start hearing about strife and stuff, people leaving.
Yeah, it's just no good. No good, Batman. Yeah,
man, that's bad news bears.
But you know what's not bad news bears?
Yes, sir.
Obsidian has revealed on Game Informer's cover that they are making a South Park RPG.
I like almost everything about this. First of all, the cover is beautiful. The
cover's great.
It shows like all the South Park kids are looking into a pond and they kind of like see their reflection. And apparently it's a game about fitting in.
Yes.
It sounds almost kind of heartwarming.
Well, you are the new kid in South Park. You play the silent protagonist. And the basic plot goes that you join up with the other kids and they're like LARPing. But something happens and the LARPing becomes real. So you now have to help them fight.
And I heard the combat system compared to Paper Mario.
Yes, turn-based with time button presses. It's using the Dungeon Siege 3 engine that they developed.
Now, I wonder if it's going to be like 3D models or they're just going to try really hard to
We haven't seen any media yet. I wouldn't be surprised if there's something at the Spike TV Awards
this
weekend.
It'd be cool if it just looked like an episode of South Park.
First things they did after their first meeting with the South Park creators was to recreate the inside and outside of Stan's house in the game engine. So they made sure they had the look right. So the fact that it's using the Dungeon Siege 3 engine makes me think like it will be like a fixed perspective. It's not going to be like Skyrim style or anything. So you should be able to get the 2D look that way.
I'm pretty excited about this.
I'm stoked. I think that's fantastic.
This sounds like a very good idea.
There's been so many South Park games, but they've never really been good meaty games, I guess.
Well, the last substantial one that wasn't like a downloadable thing or an iPhone game or a Flash game was South Park for Nintendo 64.
Right, and that was the first one, I think, was a shooter.
Remember that? That had a decent amount of hype behind it.
The multiplayer wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. I mean, it's basically GoldenEye.
Right.
It was a weird game. South Park was such a different show back then. That's back when South Park was all shock value.
Mm-hmm. So like now it's just really smart satire.
Yeah, so that was back when like you're just peeing on snowballs and throwing at people. And
Right.
It was different. Now, and the best episodes of South Park, I think, now are, besides the satire, it's like the episode where the kids are kind of acting just like kids, and that's what this kind of seems like, a lot of this imagination.
I like the classes. Oh, shit, I'm doing this off memory, but there's like five classes. It's like warrior, paladin, wizard, archer, and then something Cartman makes up.
I feel like everyone might just want to be whatever Cartman makes
right.
up. Right. Sounds like
that'd be the most fun. Right. It would help you fit in.
Quite. But... And, you know, Matt Stone and Trey Parker are going to be really involved with the writing of this thing.
Yeah, they are writing the dialogue, the story, everything.
This sounds like I think
Obsidian, they finally get a true AAA hit on their hands here, finally.
Well, Obsidian did pretty well with Fallout New Vegas. I liked Fallout New Vegas a lot. I from what I saw of Alpha Protocol,
but, like, everything they've done, and I mean, granted, this is an existing IP, but it's not a video game IP.
I had mixed feelings about Obsidian, for sure. Sometimes.
Yeah, like, I mean, I just feel like, you know, KOTOR 2, Fallout New Vegas, Dungeon Siege 3, it's like they play in other people's video game worlds, and they always kind of live in that shadow.
Well, then when they made their own Alpha Protocol, it wasn't exactly...
Right.
Yeah.
So this is their chance to take an IP that hasn't been super successful in the realm of video games and really do something cool with it. I hope this is great.
I'm excited.
The idea sounds fantastic.
I
never saw this coming.
Agreed.
Now, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Let's play Do You Believe the Company? Because Nintendo claims that the Wii U won't mean the end of the Wii.
Usually I like to stick up when people say these things like that, when executives say dumb things. I don't believe them.
No. I mean, it's not like they've ever done this ever in any other system. I mean, did the GBA get great support after the DS came out? No. Did the GameCube after the Wii?
I remember the last game that was going to come out for the GameCube was... Well, first you had Zelda. They ended up... bringing that also to Wii. Then you had Super Paper Mario, which it just ended up turning into a Wii game completely.
Yep.
I think some people forget that was going to be a GameCube game.
Yep.
No, I don't believe them. Like, why would you? No, there's no. First off, like, I want to let them know you don't have to. Please.
No.
Don't.
Well,
do
their
that.
Excuse is that they're still selling a lot of Wiis, and they expect to sell a lot because this is the first Christmas it's ever cost.
Okay, these people.
$149.
All right, look. There's a backlog now. If you're buying Wii now for the first time, you can play all the old games. What else are you going to release for? What else is there to do?
I'll tell you what else they're going to release
like
for it, Mike.
What? Like Mario parties and
no.
shit like that?
No, no,
oh,
no,
well, okay,
no,
yeah.
Mike, we won. We did it.
Did we? We did it.
Xenoblade is confirmed for North America coming this April, sold exclusively through GameStop.
I thought GameStop was supposed to be the bad guy. You think GameStop did this as a PR move?
I don't know. I
mean, like, please stop.
Maybe they set like they're like we need to keep making Wii games, like, but we don't want to make Wii games. Well, fuck. All right. God damn it, release it. But we don't want to make that many.
Yeah.
I know. We need to know how many we're gonna sell.
Yeah.
GameStop freaking shoves pre-orders down people's throat. We'll get the pre-order numbers. We'll add 10 on top. Just to be safe. I mean, literally 10. And then we'll sell it. And they'll shut everybody up and we'll look good and happy.
I mean...
Now, here's my question. Now, do you feel a responsibility to not only buy this game, but to actually go, like, pre-order it this week?
I don't because I was... I feel like I was pretty... I wasn't too gung-ho about... Well, I was mad at Nintendo for not releasing it. I never said, like, because I wanted it. I will say Pete swears by this game.
Oh, I know. I'm like, I do feel guilted into it a little bit.
I do, because I do kind of feel like a responsibility, even though, and I said this on my comic I did, on GameStuff, it's like, when you think about it, this is basically the technology that Final Fantasy X was built on.
Yep.
Like, if you say that the Wii is basically a GameCube, and GameCube was, like, just a little bit better than PS2, like... And games like Zelda show how, you know, you can really kind of push it. But you look at the videos,
it.
And Xenoblade looks like a very good GameCube game, but it still looks like a GameCube game.
I know.
And especially
and it's
with,
a JRPG,
for
which
a
is
JRPG,
strike two for me.
Well, I don't mind. I like JRPGs. I do. I know you don't. But playing one on the goddamn Wii, I don't think I've never done that.
You'll be able to play it on your Wii U.
What? Oh, JRPGs have come out for the Wii. They made a weird Tales of Symphonia sequel, which I did not
There's been more
buy.
Released not here.
Yeah. But it'll be interesting. I wonder if it actually will sell. It's got a lot more publicity than it ever would have.
I know, right?
I wonder
that's
if those
probably what they finally figured. Everyone knows about this game.
So do you think those other two?
No.
What were the other ones?
Well, I don't know. If this is successful and they want to keep releasing Wii games, apparently.
This was the big one they wanted over here, right?
Right.
The other one. Well, one of them's The Last Story, which was actually the Mistwalker Studios.
Yes.
That's Sakurai?
Yes.
The original Final Fantasy guy. Was that Sakaguchi?
They did Blue Dragon.
I can't remember.
I don't know.
Blue Dragon looks weird. And then there's another. What's the other one?
I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. But there's more. I mean, you know, if you're gung-ho about supporting the Wii, sure, bring it over.
Yep.
I was kind of like dead set, like, oh, Zelda's going to be the last game I ever play on the Wii. Now it's like, maybe not.
I guess, no.
If this comes out on March, when's it coming out?
April.
That's a pretty good time to release this. Yeah. There's a good chance, I think, I actually will look into this in April.
Because what else
is going to
be out in April?
Right.
You'll, like, just kind of be finishing up Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, why not?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what the fuss is about.
Right. Meanwhile, the 3DS, turns out when something isn't the most expensive thing ever, it does pretty well. In only 8 months, the 3DS has surpassed first-year sales of the original DS. I mean, also, the DS was kind of like a weird thing no one quite understood when it first came out.
Yeah, I don't think the DS sales were on fire either. I just think it was always just a matter of when did the Mario games come out and when's the first Christmas season going to happen?
Well, here's my question now. I mean, let's play
this
hindsight.
This is kind of a let's go topical. I have a let's go topical. Did people speak too soon when they said the 3DS was doomed?
I wasn't going to say that, but I'll save it, what I'm going to say. Just don't let me forget.
You can say what you're going to say.
Well, I just want to say, like, does this mean there was no reason for them to release the 3DS in March? That they should have just waited for, like, October?
They got a bunch of people to buy one for too much money.
How many? Sales didn't skyrocket this thing until the price drop. I mean, look, when that price drop happened in Japan, it was on the top sales charts every week.
Well, think of it this way. It was better that they found out that price wasn't going to fly in March than to find out it wasn't going to fly in November.
That's a good point. But, I mean, you just feel like if they could have just said, all right, listen, this needs to be under $200. Let's go 180. Let's wait until Christmas when people are going to be buying the shit and we have games that are finished. Could you imagine if that thing launched with Zelda and Mario, and then a month later you re-release Star Fox, and then a month after that you launch Mario Kart? Boom.
I mean, I agree. Systems almost always seems like they're launched a little too early.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's always this anticipation
to get them out. Like, usually it's because they come out the holiday. It's like, oh, they have. It
is weird to rush a system for March.
Yeah,
it's
like,
weird.
Well, we got
to
get out in March. Easter, guys.
Wasn't it released in Japan in time for the holiday?
Yeah.
So maybe that was it. Like, they did make holiday, just not here.
I
mean, we know Nintendo doesn't make the best decisions.
That's
so we'll save the let's go topical version of this.
All right. It is, I think, a true testament to my self-control that I do not now own every Sonic soundtrack that is now on iTunes.
Which ones are they?
They've released soundtracks for the Japanese version of Sonic CD, Sonic Adventure 1, Sonic Adventure 2, Sonic Heroes, and a Best of Crush 40 collection.
Crush 40 are the guys who sing a lot of those Sonic songs.
And, I'm waiting. I don't think they're out yet, but hopefully this means that they'll also put on iTunes the two albums they're doing for Sonic Generations.
Yeah.
Because I like those songs.
I mean, it's cool. I might get at least
I was very
Sonic
excited
CD.
To see that Crush 40 did their own version of Sonic Boom.
It's pretty nice.
I might just have to buy that track.
Next.
I'm going out of order here. Some more EA stuff here. So, first of all, EA has registered every possible combination of domain for Command & Conquer Alliance this week. This is people heavily speculating, based on the screenshot that we saw, that BioWare's new game, that's going to be shown at the VGAs this Saturday, is, in fact, this Command & Conquer Alliance.
They don't look very Command & Conquer-y.
And I could have sworn, I know I read that it's a new IP. I don't maybe it meant new IP for BioWare, but...
Yeah, that's not a new IP at all. It's a very old IP.
No, I don't
I think people are just trying to connect dots that should not be connected.
Right.
They're trying to make
a
crab a duck
like,
in the coloring
look like
book.
A bear.
Yeah, exactly. I think some people want that. I think this BioWare thing is just going to be something dumb, to be completely honest. I think it's going to be a new IP that's going to look not appealing.
You shall see. Saturday. Set your DVR. Or just open up GameTrailers.com and watch the trailers afterwards.
Yeah, that's what
we usually do.
I don't know. Like, the categories... Maybe I'll
feels
watch
a little
it
more,
this year. I've never watched this show before live.
Oh, really?
Maybe I'll actually
it's
do it.
It's pretty rough. But
we
said...
Why don't we drink heavily and do it?
Yeah, let's.
let's do that.
And I'm very glad that there is no category for, like, best game fueled by Dew or anything this year.
Well,
maybe this is their first step into a brave new world where they kind of treat this with some dignity.
Here's my thing, though, now, is that there's one trailer I really want to see, and I feel like we probably won't see it.
And that is?
Half-Life 3.
Oh, you're talking about the t-shirts.
They can't actually be that mean. If anybody doesn't know, Valve employees are just walking around wearing Half-Life 3 t-shirts.
I know, that has to be a conscious decision.
So it's a conscious decision to either A, like, very, like, cleverly tease the fact that they're going to announce that game very soon, or two, to just troll us and be jerks. I'm going to tell you right now, if that is what it is, fuck you, Valve.
Okay?
You don't get to, like, be smug about the fact that you sucked at making a sequel that has taken you too long. You can't mock us for it.
Oh, they keep asking for Half-Life 3.
I'm sorry, I love your product. Please release it. But if, I'll tell you, the same, other side of the coin, though, if Half-Life 3 is announced very soon, I will be more excited for that announcement than...
anything else coming out in 2012?
Well, I'm just trying to think, like, what was the last game announcement that got me that, like, that I could even compare it to? I don't even know. I like Half-Life 2 a lot.
Yeah.
Half-Life 2 is still easily the best first-person shooter campaign. First-person shooter campaigns didn't even, as we know it now because of that, they started with Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
And since then, for the last 7 years, we just had people trying to make one as good. And, like, some have come close. Like, you know, BioShock came pretty close. But for the most part, no. We're kind of regressing now with, like, these Call of Duties and things where it's gone back to, like, the linear... And this is
ride.
You know, here's the one level, here's the next level, here's the other level. Like, you know, Half-Life 2 had the very organic, like, you literally walk everywhere you go. Like, you start, I mean, isn't that impressive when you actually think about that?
That it's all one linear walk?
Yeah, like, there's no cutscene. There's no, like, for the most part, I don't think there's any, like, real big, like, oh, you're in a different part, you know, it goes black and you're in a different world.
Yeah, no.
Like, you basically just kind of walk through this entire thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the whole story of episode 2.
I mean, I don't mean to just be gushy about episode 2, I mean, about Half-Life 2 right now, but, I mean, you gotta agree, that's just mean if they're not doing something with that soon.
I know.
Please. And it didn't say episode 3.
Yeah, it just said 3.
Which I've been calling that one for a while. I'm going to take a lot of credit for that.
The hat will come out.
Yeah. If it's straight Half-Life 3 and episode 3, yeah, I'm putting on the hat. The I am right hat. Please, I would just freak out. Plus, this is gonna be so good because it's gonna be on that ship and they're gonna tie it in a portal. Maybe GLaDOS will burn it. It'll be so good.
Oh my! What if, like, GLaDOS saves the world or something?
No, I don't know. Why do they? Why is it whenever a villain is popular, you have to, like, make him a hero?
Well, they kind of did that in 2.
I know. That's all villains had to do that.
Yeah.
Next. All right.
So apparently, EA online passes, these Project $10 things, can expire.
Like, when do they expire? Is it, like, they can in theory?
No, like, Dragon Age 2, the codes, like, if you go buy it new right now, they'll expire in the end of March. Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, or one of the Need for Speeds, is already expired. Now, I didn't understand this, because, of course, all the media outlets called EA, and they're like, what? And they're like, well, they shouldn't expire, but they do.
But make them not expire.
Well, freaking okay.
I don't get it.
If I understand, it means if your code's expired, you could call them and they'll give you another one. But it's like, well, you're making more work for yourself and frustrating people. Like, why did you make these expirable?
I don't understand.
This whole, I didn't used to mind it, but I feel the whole Project $10 thing's getting out of hand.
The Project $10 thing, is that the
whole pass? Where all the games come with an online pass or a code, and if you don't pay it new, you have to pay $10.
I don't know. I've never even dealt with that yet. I haven't had a game where, like...
Yes, you did. You did it for Batman.
Did I? I barely even remember.
That's how you get your Catwoman.
Yeah, that's right. Which was dumb. Catwoman didn't even work that well in that game.
Really?
All of her things. No, she played well. It meant her integration in the story.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it was a little spread out. I mean, especially, too, like that one. Like, it was like a pretty big download. So it's like, oh, I'm going to play this game after I wait half an hour for this to download.
I don't know. They're trying this out. Who knows where it's going to go?
Well,
who knows
if
we're going to have friend of these codes in the next one?
Did you see the new release of Tetris on the iOS App Store?
No, sir.
They took down the version that was there and put up a new version that's 99 cents. And I don't quite understand all the options, but they turned into a subscription-based game. $3 a month.
For Tetris.
Yes. Gonna you play... could you could pay $36 a year to play Tetris.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. I'll get my Game Boy out. The sad thing is, it's selling really well.
Well, it's Tetris.
Yeah.
That's why they did that, really. They realized we could charge way too much for this in a really weird sort of, like, monthly thing, and people will buy it anyways.
Mm-hmm.
People probably don't even understand that they're paying that.
I feel EA is regressing to an evil state again. They were kind of good for a while.
Well, maybe they got... Maybe because they were good, and they didn't... That didn't really help or change anything.
Yeah, actually.
So they may as well be evil again.
Yeah.
It'll be more fun. Is Activision still evil?
Oh, yeah. Well, did you see Bobby Kotick's latest proclamation?
Kotick, yeah.
However you say it.
What's his name?
He claims that SWTOR will never make any money because the money will go to Lucas. Not like Lucas.
I thought Michael Pachter said this.
George Lucas. No, Kotick was saying it.
Oh. I mean, he might be right. The licensing fee, I bet, is incredibly steep. Yeah, why is that evil?
I just think it's funny that he's like coming out and saying this because he's like, haha, we have Warcraft. I have to imagine a lot of that money is going to Blizzard.
It's true. He does have Warcraft. But he owns Blizzard, doesn't he? Doesn't they merge?
Yeah, but I still never understood the terms of that merger. I mean, the fact that it's called Activision Blizzard makes it sound like they have a lot of power.
Yeah, I don't know. This doesn't seem evil at all to me, what he said, though. I'm confused.
No, I just meant, speaking of evil, let's mention Bobby Kotick. Okay, yeah. It seems, was in my list.
I feel like those are good points, if anything. But
I want to see what you thought of it.
I agree with him. I agree with you, Mr. Kotick.
Okay.
EA probably will not make very much money.
You were fantastic in Moneyball. Oh, yes. We're almost done. So,
That wasn't him. That was
Kotick.
No, it was. No,
yes.
That was the Sony guy.
No, that was Kotick.
Was that Kotick?
Yes.
Maybe you're right.
I'm 100% positive.
No, I don't think it was Kotick.
It was definitely Kotick. Quit thinking about it.
Who am I thinking it is from Sony?
You're thinking Jack Tretton, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't Jack Tretton.
No, he's taller.
Guess it was Kotick.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So there is one 3DS feature that the Vita will not have, at least at launch. Tell me if you care.
3D?
There's another feature. Damn it. You will not be able to open the web browser while playing a game. You could do other things like Twitter and Facebook.
Can you do that on the 3DS?
You can.
Who uses the web browser?
Yeah, you want to check out Wikipedia?
We have smartphones.
You know, you're stuck in the game.
No.
You don't have a smartphone. Okay, you don't care.
I get a smartphone. I'm sorry. I hate to be like an elitist asshole, but get a goddamn smartphone. It's 2011.
What's that wireless thing that Chris was looking at? $20 a month unlimited with an LG Android phone?
Get an iPhone.
There you go. Yeah, the truth. Okay, final one. Apparently, this was also the case with the PSP. I never realized it. But on the PS Vita, you can only have one account, like a PSN account active at a time.
Oh, man, I can't. Because all my friends are going to be dying to play my PlayStation Vita and have their own accounts.
Unlike the PSP, to switch it to another account, you have to format the system. Basically, this is being done so that you don't have a Japanese account and an English account.
So you're not
downloading a bunch of multi-regional stuff.
Could you just download those things on the PlayStation 3 store and put them on your Vita that way?
Hey, you broke it. Good
I
job.
Win! Yay!
See, even Mike can beat DRMs. Come on.
I've got this. I am to hacks.
You are to hacksaws. All right. That's it.
Oh. Okay. So, yeah, going back to the 3DS for just a second. Were people too quick to call doom and gloom for the 3DS?
Apparently.
Should we have known that, like, this is... I mean, it's not like it's... There's not a rocket ship attached here right now, but it's definitely, like, back where it should be.
Yeah. I mean, it's not surprising that at the Christmas holiday, when the first real games are released for it, yeah, it's doing okay now.
You got Mario Kart and
Mario 3D Land. Yeah, it's just, you know, like I said, they just really effed up the launch, and they should have handled it a bit better, but it'll ultimately be fine.
It seems that way. It was funny thinking about all the people who kind of thought that the system wouldn't be around in a year.
Yeah, there was no way that was going to happen. It's a battle of attrition. They'll win it.
All right, next. The South Park game is now one of your most anticipated titles for next year.
It's the title I'm most curious about. I wouldn't say it's my most anticipated. There's other games I'm looking more forward.
I said one of.
It's up there. I mean, in a year of Mass Effect 3, Diablo 3, and Bioshock Infinite.
I mean, are we sure that Diablo 3 is coming out next
year?
Are we? Okay. I mean, even still, yeah, I guess not in front of any of those games. But I'm still really looking forward to this.
Oh,
I think it's going to be pretty cool. It is weird that after, like, we actually are at the point now where those are the next things coming out, huh?
Yeah. We did it.
Yeah, we were.
2011's almost over. Can you believe it?
Now
we got one more big release really this year.
Is BioShock Infinite just going to be a holiday thing next year? It's not going to come out before then.
They might go for that August time slot again.
Maybe, yeah. But I remember thinking at a point, like, maybe it was going to come out, like, in April or February. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
I just can't wait for that game.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I saw it. It was ridiculous. Stupid. I mean, you could probably see the same thing I saw now. Did I break this?
Well, you shouldn't step on it.
No, I didn't break it. It just actually folds that much. Sorry, I was looking at my headset. Okay. Halfway Through will be announced before the end of the year.
Well, I mean, if it's not the VGAs, it's not going to happen.
You think Valve would announce something at the VGAs? They announced Left 4 Dead 2 at the VGAs, didn't they?
I have no idea.
I think they did, right?
You don't remember? I cannot confirm nor deny.
Sure. I think they did.
Okay. I don't see why not. I'd be happy as hell if they did.
I mean, I know a lot of things they say they're going to announce.
Mike, I hate to tell you this personally. I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be thrilled if it does. Oh, he's got a frowny face. He's hanging his head.
Why? I'm going to believe it. I'm going to be incredibly disappointed.
I want to believe, Mike. I'm like Smolder or Scully.
You never saw a single episode of that show. Like,
no, me. I have never seen it.
We are not allowed to quote freaking X-Files.
Just don't know, Mike Zorz. I just don't know.
It's gotta happen at some point. Like, it at some,
someday.
At some point, they're gonna say, oh, we should make a Half-Life 3, I guess. We're done making freaking Dota 2. Am I allowed to talk about Dota 2? Is that like an open beta?
I don't know.
Maybe I'll just talk about it anyways. Who cares? What are they gonna do? Send the police?
If Valve sent us a cease and desist, that'd be the highlight ever.
Yeah, what would worst case scenario be? We have to take this one podcast down?
Oh, there's no NDA.
Okay, good. We can talk about that. I'm kind of disappointed now. Yeah. I'm going to be all
so rebellious. So much for a chance to be rebels.
Yeah, I was going to be like, I'm going to tell you all about it. I don't even care. They're not going to stop me. That's what they get for teasing me with their Half-Life 3 shirt. Next. Well,
any luck in that search?
Let me get this next topic going. You care about Resident Evil 6. So apparently Resident Evil 6, the rumor is it's going to take place in, I almost said Africa. That was Resident Evil 5, though. It's China. That's the country.
Oh, so we got to pick another place where we can be racist.
It's kind of their thing now.
Can they just put one in Raccoon City again?
It
didn't bother anybody.
It's very globetrotty these days, isn't it?
I know. It's just...
Well, that 3DS one's just going to be on a boat.
It's on a boat.
Very much Tinker Mission-esque, it seems, doesn't it? Well, like Metal Gear Solid 2.
What are the other details on this?
That's all I remember.
Okay.
But it'll be, I assume, Resident Evil. Maybe it'll be scary again.
I don't care. I just don't.
You just don't care?
Here's the thing.
Did you play Resident Evil 5?
A little bit.
Did you have any opinion of it? I assume you didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all. I'm trying to run from some guy with a chainsaw while I can't not only shoot backwards, but run while shooting. It's like, I'm going to hold still so you can come out with a chainsaw, because it's going to take 40 of these bullets to stop you.
The biggest problem with I still like the gameplay of that fine. I think that's fun. But my big problems with Resident Evil 5 were all the story decisions. All the characters were incredibly uninteresting.
Well, and here's, to go one step further, I don't even know what the fuck's going on in this
story. No, you can't even know. It was 4 was great because it detached itself from all the Wesker bullshit.
Yeah, but now they went on their own thing now, and I don't even know what that is. And all I know is there was the Umbrella Corporation of T-Virus. That, I think, is gone. Maybe?
I think I hate everything that has to do with Wesker. Wesker is a terrible character.
Isn't he just famous. Like a bad guy from The Matrix, basically?
He's basically, especially, I mean, I don't know if he always was, but in 5, he's basically Agent Smith. Like, full on. He's got the trench coat, he like zips around all over the place, he stops rockets with his hands and crap. He's a Matrix character.
Yeah.
And he talks exactly like Mr. Smith, but everything's kind of like very calm and like, whatever. Like, oh, it's so futile, you guys. Why do these people always think things are so futile?
They always seem to get stopped in the end.
Yeah, it's not that futile,
apparently.
But
just because the Borg said it.
The best character in Resident Evil 5 was like this really weird, kind of creepy, just like middleman guy. He was like, I remember he was in the trailer, so like, oh, that character looks awesome. And he was, but you like kill him pretty quickly. Big letdown.
It's just the series does nothing for me.
It's yet again another Japanese series that really took a big hit.
They need to do another 3-4 evolution kind of thing. Like, they need to do something major in that game.
I feel like you can't just do 5 again. I feel like,
no.
And I kind of defended the the choice to not let them walk and shoot, I feel like you might have to do that now.
You have to do that. I mean, here's the thing. Like I said, I almost don't mind it if it's like a matter of I stop the shoot and boom, 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 take out three guys and they go down. But when it's, like I said, some mid-boss character who takes 40 shots, it's just run in a circle.
It's not even the mid-boss. It's just like you get like that one type of enemy. He's in the game too much.
And yeah, so like I got to like shoot him 5 times, turn around, run 10 feet because he doesn't run, but he keeps coming. Turn around, shoot him again. And like just do that for like 5 minutes. It's so boring.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know if they were going to top 4. Last one. You're starting to worry about The Last Guardian.
A little bit.
Like, when was this game announced? It was a long time ago.
And before it was announced, like, a trailer leaked.
Like, I know that these things take a while, I guess.
I know,
but,
and, like, you know, again, there's the right brain part of me that's like, oh, don't rush art, because this game's going to be art, because it's Ueda, and he made Shadow of the Colossus and Ico, and they're art games. But the left brain of me is like, you can't take 6 years to make a video game. Square Enix has proved this to us. Make your damn game.
If it was just a long development cycle and they were still releasing things about the game, I would be okay. Like, you know, like Metal Gear Solid 4, it took forever. They kept showing us. They probably showed us too much to convince us that the game was still being made.
Right.
But the fact that we haven't really seen anything in like over a year, and now we hear like the creative director is leaving the company. It's like, well, what's going on?
Yeah, and we'll probably never find out.
You know, it's just flashing red lights. Oh, we might find out. There's bad blood. Might get all Inafune on us.
Well, often when things like this happen, there's NDAs and things like that.
I know a lot of people like are on the side of like these old school Japanese developers, and it seems like they get frustrated and they have to leave the company. You feel like maybe they're just not evolving the way they need to?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I don't mean to side with the mega evil corporations.
Ueda, Inafune, Itagaki, all leaving. And why? Because
I think they just got into fights because they don't like that things are changing, and I don't think they're willing to change.
No, I think it's the other way around. I think that the creative guys want the change.
Is that what you think?
The companies won't change.
Well, that's what Inafune was kind of – that was his thing. So you have a good point, because that's what he was going on and on about, was that they desperately needed to change, and the companies refused to.
Yeah.
And he probably got tired of just screaming about it.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. When you have studios like Square and Team Ico who take 6 years to make a game, and then you got Naughty Dog making Uncharted 3 in less than 2 years, something's got to give.
It's just something I don't know what – I don't know enough about game development to say what the problem is, but yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. It mathematically doesn't add up.
Right.
Is all I can say. All right, that's that for Let's Go Topical. Do we play anything new? I know we just started some Mario Kart 7.
Yes.
You got your copy.
I played a handful of tracks.
You were playing through it. Big thing about this game is that it's running at 60 frames per second in 3D, and it looks beautiful.
It looks fantastic.
It looks great.
It's
like you notice that immediately. It looks good. But I mean, it's Mario Kart.
Mm-hmm. You got your hang gliding and your boat thing.
Those are cool.
And I enjoy it very much. You got some good new items. You got the raccoon tail. Was the fire flower in the Wii one? I can't remember.
Well, remember the GameCube one had, like, the character-specific mm-hmm. power-ups, and Mario's was a fire ball. I think that's what it was, which was kind of neat. Yeah, I mean, some people are down this game just because I think it's so established now.
Yeah, well,
I think I don't know why. It's fun. I don't know what the problem is.
As you pointed out in your GameStop comic, I think calling it Mario 7 is, like, a kind of stark reminder just how many of these damn things there have been.
Right. Like, you don't want to tell people that they basically bought this game 6 times before.
Right. And
like,
we have.
Be cynical. Yeah. And, you know, we keep going back. But it's still, it's fun.
It's great. Playing in multiplayer, we were sitting on the couch, we were trash talking.
You know,
it was great.
Like, I'm sorry. I like Mario Kart. Yeah, you know, what do you want?
I had a fantastic time. I haven't tried the gyroscope controls yet, so maybe later I'll give that a shot. But, I mean, already, just for, like, on my first pass through tracks, I could see shortcuts that I missed that I want to take next time. And trying to think how I could use, like, you know, boost mushrooms to manipulate the track a bit, because I usually do that.
It seems like with, just like in Mario Kart DS, you can customize your kart a decent bit.
Yeah, you can pick your chassis, your wheels, and apparently your hang glider type. I haven't unlocked any new ones.
I play Mario Kart DS a lot. I play the Wii one a little bit, not nearly as much.
I think it fits well on a handheld.
What was the difference? Yeah. What were the big things that Wii did?
Motion control?
No, I feel like there was something else it did. Oh, it had bikes. That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. So
no one cared.
Okay, did you play anything else too interesting?
Yeah, I got a couple things we're talking about. On the iPhone, they released Infinity Blade 2.
I feel like I try to play Infinity Blade 1. I feel like my mindset just isn't right. Like, I'm not accepting of a portable game where I need to, like, watch a story and read text and stuff. Like, that.
The voiceover's in English in this one.
Well, that's nice, but, like,
I got some money, I guess.
Yeah, it's just weird for me.
I mean, I think it's really
fun. I get
fun.
Impatient.
I the gameplay's great. I really enjoy it. They've added some stuff to spike it up. Like, there's enemies now who will use some ranged attacks. You have to dodge them and things like that. On my iPhone 4S, it is gorgeous.
I mean, it looks real good.
Oh,
I get that.
Oh, my God. It looks amazing. I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe it, how good it looks. I mean, I put it up there with console games released this year. It's pretty good. The other one I got, too, speaking of console games on my iPhone, they released The Bard's Tale, the 2004 Xbox game.
I thought nobody liked that game.
I didn't like the game because I thought the gameplay was a little too simple. Because the crux of the game is that it's spoofing action RPGs of the day.
Yeah.
But in doing so, and pointing out how bad they were, it was being a kind of bad action RPG.
Right.
Which was
kind of like that Matt Hazard game.
Yeah. So, like, that was too simple on the Xbox. But on the iPhone, it's the right level of complexity.
Oh, there you go.
And, I mean, the writing and voice acting is hilarious. Because you have Cary Elwes, who plays the Bard. And I realize now, the character was Jack Sparrow before Jack Sparrow.
Oh, really?
And then the narrator is, oh, shoot, his name just left my head. Tony J.
Yeah.
So it's the two of them having, you know, witty banter back and forth.
You know, me and Chris actually played Magicka, which we finally got that going.
Oh, yeah?
It's kind of an older game now, I guess. It's very funny.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of slow.
A little bit.
For, like, what I think of as an isometric game. And the other thing that drives me crazy, it's so multiplayer-focused, but, like, there's friendly fire.
Yeah.
In almost every... There's a lot of spells have a large area of effect, or their beams. It was just hard to get around not hurting.
Yeah, it's the same reason why I don't like having companions in Skyrim.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Can't really aim these spells that well.
Right, I feel like, yeah. I don't know, I kind of have mixed feelings. I don't know if I really go back to it. I know a lot of people liked it, but... there's certainly things... The other thing, too, is we picked characters, like, there were the three characters, and there were, like, two ones that I think they added. Like, one's basically Tron. The other one's basically, like, a space marine.
Huh.
And besides, like, the spells and the combining of the spells, we just had, like, I had a gun and he had a laser disc. And they did a lot of damage. So it was like, well, why are we, like, mixing a zillion spells to not do nearly as much damage?
It's just these things.
Instead of just shooting. Yeah, I don't know. It was kind of weird. We also played the Magic the Gathering 2012 Duels of the Plane.
Oh, good. How's
it was good. I mean, Magic the Gathering. I like those games because when I'm just playing them on a table... I sometimes don't understand the nuances of the rules. Like rules specific to cards and stuff.
Yeah, you're not quite sure how to implement. I mean, ultimately, it doesn't matter,
yeah,
but
it's
nice to know.
It's nice when this thing just does it for me. Like, I just have to worry
keeps
about...
keeps track of your damage and everything.
Yeah, it's just kind
of... Does it do a good job of replicating the tabletop experience?
Sure, yeah, I see so.
Cool. I want to try. There is that mode in that one where it's a 3-on-1 co-op mode.
Oh, yeah?
Three players are playing against... It can be AI, and I think a recent patch let you put a human in who has, like, just the super-powered deck.
Oh, yeah.
So it's basically, like, the Magic equivalent of a raid.
That's cool.
Yeah.
We still have to try that.
You also played Dota 2.
I did. That's right. I was just talking about how much I wanted to talk about that.
Yes. Because, I mean, I got into the beta, and with the beta, they give you a couple invites. So I was out of town all weekend, but you got the chance to start it, so... My biggest question, I guess, because the way I put it to you earlier was, I feel like, you know, in the MMO space, you have World of Warcraft, and then all these other MMOs came out that were kind of like World of Warcraft, but you were never going to beat World of Warcraft, because you already knew that game, there's no sense in leaving it, and I feel like in the MOBA space, to call it that, so we don't confuse it with the
What do we call
Dota,
it, MOBA?
Multiplayer Online Battle Action or something.
Battle Arena, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, like... League of Legends, I think they have, like, what, 14 million active players right now?
I don't know.
I feel like it's in a similar position, this genre, to WoW. So, like, is Dota enough to get you, like, to, like,
well,
abandon League of Legends for Dota?
My experience with this genre started with League of Legends. Basically,
right, and a lot of people's experience with the MMO genre started with WoW.
Right, but, well, this, I think a lot of people played Dota All-Stars, the original Dota. That was a mod.
A lot of people played EverQuest.
Okay.
I just think the analogy is very apt.
I like your analogy. It's right. Just let me continue my train of thought now. Like, I never played Heroes of New Earth or anything. But, like, I feel like, and I can't actually, I don't know if this is true, but Dota 2 is being very faithful to the original Dota. Mm-hmm. In that, it's, you know, you can just look at these characters that they made for them, and they're
right out of Warcraft.
They're right out of Warcraft. And it's just, it's weird seeing these Warcraft characters be basically this kind of Valve sheen on them, and they're voiced by, like, those Valve voice actors that you hear in every game they do. So, I feel like the heroes aren't as... I feel like LoL's not as strict about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no Veigar in this game, for instance, the guy I like to play as. There's just no one like him. And, like, even their names are sometimes weird. Like, the sniper character is just called Sniper. There's a character called Anti-Mage. Like, they just really? Want... Yeah, they just want you to know what they do, I guess. Like, that sort of thing. But, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, it's very much the same thing. You're pushing creeps and destroying towers and trying to get to the
now,
enemy
base. The thing I hoped that would separate this from League of Legends, because, I mean, LoL does have, like, a lore and a backstory, but it's not really in the game.
No. And Valve's if you're thinking there's, like, there's better lore in Dota 2, then...
Not necessarily lore, but, like... Are the characters chatty? Do they have personality? Kind of the way Team Fortress 2 brought that into the multiplayer shooter space.
I don't know if they have any more personality than, say, I mean, they talk when you click on things, just like they do in LoL.
But no, like, battle chatter or anything?
No, they don't, like, talk amongst themselves. They don't talk amongst themselves, unless I'm missing that. It's like that Blizzard thing where you have, like, the talking head on the bottom, which isn't in LoL. If you miss that. I guess my point is just that, like, I'm kind of used to LoL now, and there's things that are different about it, and they're not necessarily good or bad, but they're just different, and I feel like I might as well just be playing LoL, because I actually know that better. And plus, I like Dominion, which is the new playstyle in LoL.
Mm-hmm.
And Dota 2 won't do that, because, again, it's not traditional.
Right.
It feels weird that we have... This is, like, the fourth semi-sequel to Dota 1.
Yeah.
And there's, like, more coming. We have Stark, we have a Blizzard Dota.
Now, I mean, they still haven't confirmed it, but based on what you played on this, do you feel like it's going to be free to play?
Oh, I think it has to be. Well, I don't know I don't know if they're going to do the LoL thing. We have to unlock characters.
Are the heroes locked in the beta at all?
No, they seem to all be there. Also, there's a pretty good number of them. I thought they were saying, like, oh, we're not going
to
have as many.
Well, I think they're just not all balanced to the way they'd like it. And you were saying,
well,
you noticed some are really...
I mean, maybe I'm just real bad, but some of these heroes seem pretty powerful. And it's just like the stats don't make as much sense to me. The items are kind of different and weird. And, you know, again, this is probably all much more true to original Dota, but I just
League of Legends.
I want to play League of Legends. I kind of do. It looks nicer than League of Legends. Well, I mean, it's kind of darker, I guess, too.
Ooh.
Well, it is. Well, it has a weird day-night cycle.
Huh.
But you've seen that.
You said, too, there's no level cap?
I don't think... If there is, it's higher. Because in LoL, once you've leveled up all your abilities, you're done leveling up. In this game...
Yeah, 18, is it?
Yeah, in this game, if you can, instead of leveling up an ability, you can just level up, like, your stats. So you can keep leveling up, which means that, you know, in LoL, there's an opportunity where if the other team's level 18 because you've been feeding them too much or whatever, and you're all level 15, if you can defend them long enough, defend your base, I mean, then you can kind of equal up to their level.
And then push back.
And then now it's an even playing field again. And, you know, it's not, like, unfair. It's, you know, shame on them for not getting the job done. You don't really have that opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
The tide does not change as much, it seems like. I feel like... If somebody's winning, like, half an hour into the game, you know who's going to win, and now you're just kind of playing it out, kind of duty-bound, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's weird. It's Dota.
All right.
It just seems like a weird thing for Valve to make still.
Yeah,
like, I thought, like, maybe they're going to add some kind of weird spin on it, and it would make more sense. I don't know if it does.
I'll probably play it tonight. And the fact, like I said, it's going to be weird to see, like, basically Warcraft characters.
Right.
Like, you're going to feel like, shouldn't Blizzard be able to say, like, hey?
Also, I don't like the menus, if that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, really?
Well,
that's
not...
That's something that could change.
They don't default into a window mode like they do in LoL, which is incredibly important. Because you're constantly all tabbing out of it because you're just waiting to find matches most of the time.
Yeah,
and it looks like an old BattleNet style kind of thing, really. I don't know. I'll just play League of Legends, I think. We'll try some Dota 2.
Okay.
Also, people seem meaner.
The old Dota crowd coming
right
back.
Like, the LoL crowd kind of softened up to me. I don't
know
if it's because I was doing better.
I think it was a war of attrition of numbers. I mean, there was probably more noobs than vets in that game at some point.
Right. All right. releases.
Okay.
I mean, we've been playing more Zelda. It's amazing. I don't know if I have anything to say about it right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should be playing Zelda if you're not. I left the releases so I can find out when Left 4 Dead 2 was announced and never did. All right, so the games. Mario Kart 7 came out, 3DS. Fortune Street came out for the Wii.
I remember hearing about this now, but I completely forgot
about
it.
It's basically Monopoly with Dragon Quest and Mario characters.
There's a natural crossover.
Yeah. The Adventures of Tintin game coming out, I imagine. Yeah, everything. Okay.
I only got a 5. I thought this looked kind of good, actually. Oh, well.
Yeah. Final Fantasy 6 is coming through the PSN. It's the PlayStation version.
Yeah.
You should get the Game Boy Advance version, really. Oh, that'd be great if that was like one of our ambassador games. I doubt it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that. They're saying, the ambassador game is still coming 2011. We don't even know what they all are yet. They got like 3 weeks.
Hey, I can use a little surprise. Like a Christmas, it's like a real Christmas present.
Yeah.
You don't know. Oregon Trail 3DS and for Wii.
I hope this is not just like the dumb iPhone version.
I thought you liked that iPhone
version. It's okay, but I
thought I liked it too at first, and I didn't.
I want Oregon Trail 2nd Edition. That was the best one.
That was great. Just Dance 3 for PS3. That Jaws game, which was on there last week for Wii. I guess they pushed back. I don't know.
That one must have came out finally.
What? Oh, yeah. That one was on there every week. I don't even remember what it was. Some Afghanistan game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, and then some crap. All right, that's it. All right.
Some crap.
Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody.
Oh, you should plug your recent podcast appearance.
Thank you. I was just on yesterday. This podcast contains spoilers with Evan Killam.
Said it right.
I said it right. First time it was good, important. So you can look for that. It's called This Podcast Contains Spoilers. Me and him talked about Uncharted 3 for a little bit over an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff. We talked about it. I probably got more negative than people would probably think. But
you did. You were harsh but fair.
Harsh but fair. I saw, obviously, I love the game, but can't deny its faults.
Right.
Which, I don't want to just repeat myself in the podcast. But everyone says my problems with it are much more story than mechanic. I still think people who complain about the shooting are kind of crazy. But
I want to play it now this patch is out just to see. And I like my realization that the four main set pieces of the game are basically the four elements.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you could check out that show on couchbound.net along with this show.
Yeah.
And isn't that great?
Yeah, and we are also on ebpodcast.com. That's our site. iTunes Music Store.
Twitter.com.
At Exploding Barrel. Well, and,
whatever.
Facebook.com/ExplodingBarrel. Man, I think that's about it. All right.
So what do we got coming this week? We'll play some Dota, some Mario Kart.
I don't think we have to worry about it. Well.
Oh, yes. It's his birthday this week on Thursday.
So hopefully I'll be getting some games and I'll talk about them. Hopefully games that involve.
No, I just got you socks this year, Mike. We're going to turn this to a sock cast.
I'm done. Sock cast.
Goodbye.
The Exploding Barrel Podcast is now part of the Couchbound Network. Check out couchbound.net for new episodes of the Exploding Barrel Podcast, along with other podcasts featuring all kinds of geeky, nerdy stuff.
Walking around wearing Half-Life 3 t-shirts.